Welcome back on this Thursday, the 9th day of June 2022. I'm your host, Mark Call, and let's look at the news today to see what is rigged and what's not, what's true and what's not, and most importantly, who's going to be allowed to talk about it and who's not in post-constitutional America. And many of those who aren't going to be allowed to talk will also find that they are going to be allowed to go to the gulag. Before the echoes had even died down from the slam dunk of a jury of Hitler's peers who did exactly what they were supposed to do and pardoned Michael Sussman, returned a not guilty verdict. Remember, folks, some animals are more equal than others. For lying to the FBI and doing some of the dirty work for people committing treason against the American people, although he wasn't charged with that. The same bunch of criminals went out and said, oh, but when it comes to conservatives and those that are on the right side of the Constitution and the rule of law, well, we can still hammer them good. They made a high-profile takedown arrest of Peter Navarro, just like they did with Roger Stone. I guess the only thing that wasn't present was the tip-off to CNN so they could be sure and get there and get it all on video. And now Big Brother's minions have taken the next step. The headline from Joe Hoft in the Gateway Pundit says, pure evil. The DOJ hacks, working for the evil Merrick Garland, want to slap a gag order on Peter Navarro so that the waste-stream media can ruin him without any opposition, just like they did with Roger Stone. The story goes like this, in case you missed it. Peter Navarro was arrested at a District of Criminal Airport, put in handcuffs, for refusing to go in front of the January 6th Kangaroo Committee. It's unconstitutional, led by obvious Trump haters like the evil Liz Cheney, doesn't even have the makeup of participants given to the committee when it was, slam dunk implemented. And now it seems the crooks in the DOJ, FBI, and January 6th committee, but maybe I repeat myself, want to prevent Dr. Navarro from speaking out about what's being done to him and the slam dunk of a trial coming up. Which, at least up until you're declared conservative by the left-stream media, was his God-given right, once constitutionally protected, and yet, suggests Hoff, this ultra-corrupt committee is taking away that, too. As prosecutors, said the Daily Mail, are slapping a gag order on Trump advisor Peter Navarro in order to prevent him from doing what they're doing, creating a carnival atmosphere. And how's this for a thigh slapper? This is the same week that their carnival atmosphere is going prime time with the January 6th BS on national TV, scripted and choreographed to make P.T. Barnum proud. These people not only have no integrity and no sense of shame, they don't even have a sense of proportion. And all of this is really to prevent a sharing of evidence from a grand jury as he fights charges of contempt of Congress. And I gotta say this, folks, if you're not in contempt of Congress, you're simply not paying attention. He appeared in court on Friday after being arrested. Immediately afterwards, he addressed reporters outside the courthouse and condemned the manner of his, takedown-style arrest. And two Fox News appearances followed that, in which he claimed he was treated like an Al-Qaeda terrorist. If he'd been treated like a Taliban terrorist, they'd have given him some Stinger missiles and a Huey and sent him on his way. Anyway, on Wednesday, federal prosecutors said they want to provide Navarro, who's having trouble, he says, finding a legal team, for obvious reasons. I can't help but think that most of the D.C. attorneys who aren't on the take are more than cowed or being threatened outright for not being. Anybody remember the phrase, you'll never work in this town again? Well, it probably plays double there. On Wednesday, federal prosecutors, claimed they wanted to provide Navarro with the grand jury evidence, such as it is, so that he could prepare a defense. But they said his conduct suggested, ooh, we can't do that. There should be protections to ensure he doesn't use the material the way they intend to for a media campaign right there in that carnival atmosphere. Don't worry, the corrupt media probably isn't about to give him a fair shot. Anyway, in return, he accused them of trying to exploit the fact that he doesn't have legal representation yet and said, quote, the defendant's extrajudicial statements, however, demonstrate a substantial risk that without a protective order, the defendant will use non-public discovery for improper purposes. No, that's our job. Instead of to prepare the defense he plans to present before this sham of a court. And they didn't say that, but I'll still say unquote. Wrote the prosecutors. Let me translate that into English. He doesn't release it to the public so they realize what a scam is being pulled here. Which was pretty much what happened to Roger Stone when he was arrested in the Russia collusion kangaroo court. And we know that was all a great big stinking lie from the get-go. But remember how long it took for that bit of truth to come out. But in spite of the fact that Stone did nothing wrong, and the corrupt District of Criminals judge, Obama appointee Amy Berman Jackson, took away his right to say anything about the many corrupt acts taken against him, and now we know that the election in 2020 was stolen to boot, we know that Russia was a big stinking lie, but hey, at least they set up for the world war still to come. This, as Joe Hofton conclusion, is not the America we grew up in. These are criminals in charge who act like communist leaders, and they, along with their plans for the American public, have only just begun. After a wannabe assassin, fully armed and ready to break into the home of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, was arrested not too far outside his private residence, many people have begun pointing out that nasty nutcase Nancy Pelosi is holding up a bill that would protect the families of the judges in the Supreme Court. But hey, as long as House communists have their protection, who cares? On The Five of Fox News, Dana Perino bluntly stated that if Pelosi and Biden's puppet masters don't take steps to address this immediately, they're complicit in the threats and whatever else they intend to have happen thereafter, which pretty much makes sense. And I'll say it again, obviously, some people are more equal than others. If you are a leftist and part of the communist regime, you can get away with breaking the law, turning the law upside down, and committing outright murder. But on the other hand, not so much if you're a conservative who believes the rule of law actually ought to apply to everybody. They're going to prove you different, even if it kills you. Perino pointed out that it is technically, I guess it's technical only if you're a leftist, illegal to protest at the home of a justice. So if I was the attorney general instead of that criminal, quote, I'd say arrest them all. And if they don't take a stand tonight, they're complicit, she added. The Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, has been slow-walking this bill that passed the Senate unanimously to protect Supreme Court justices. It's called the Supreme Court Police Parity Act, and it's a bipartisan effort guided to unanimous passage in the Senate by John Cornyn of Texas and Chris Coons of Delaware, but still yet to be taken up by the House communists, Democrats. Why is she doing that, Perino asked, of Pelosi's inaction in the months since the bill passed the upper chamber. Fast track it tonight, and if you don't, you're complicit, unquote. Well, folks, I'm thinking here's the reason why. It's pretty clear. While House Democrats did again block that bill to provide more security for Supreme Court justices and their families Wednesday evening, for the obvious reason, they do want them dead, along, I guess, with more kids that they want sacrificed on the altar of Molech. And if you think about it, they are clearly sending a message. Not only are we going to not protect you, we're going to make sure the people who want to come and kill you know it. And utter hypocrites that they are, what are they doing instead? The Communist House on Wednesday passed another anti-Second Amendment sweeping gun bill that would do a bunch of things with the idiotic, and how's this for slapping you in the face, name the Protecting Our Kids Act. Well, arguably not really protecting any kids any of the time, and still keeping so many of them as sitting ducks in gun-free killing zones. And oh yeah, we're going to define you as kids, at least when it comes to some things, for several more years too. You can certainly cut off your genitalia if you want to, and commit infanticide in most states. And we're happy to teach you about abominations like sodomy and bestiality before you even know what puberty is. But no, you can't learn what most kids who grew up in the United States when it was still free learn before they reach the age of puberty too, and that's how to properly and safely operate a firearm. Because we want you to know, we're going to treat you like kids as long as you live. Which, as it turns out, may not be all that long anyway, because we do want to poison poke you before you learn to walk. We may even draft you so that you think you're protecting your country, but we probably won't even let you have a gun to do that. The disgustingly, deceptively, idiotically misnamed act would, among a number of infringements, raise the minimum age to purchase what they laughably call an assault rifle from 18 to 21, ban the sale of what they also laughably call large-capacity magazines. They're actually called standard-capacity, folks, by most manufacturers and users. And put in place some new rules to make sure that if the SWAT teams break down your door, it'll take you a while to reassemble your completely locked-up, projectile-based home defense weapon. And perhaps the really most significant infringement of all is the so-called Untraceable Firearms Act, which basically says even if you make it yourself, you slave you, you can't keep it, because you slaves don't have rights. And if we don't put a serial number on a, well, firearm, how's that for a term of art, you can't own it. You can't even keep it. And this is a huge step even beyond the claims that they've made up until now about licensing and interstate commerce and manufacturing and all kinds of ways of getting around shall not be infringed. It's a major, major, albeit unconstitutional, but clever legal twisting into warp drive. And by the way, this gives us the foot in the door to ban literally everything immediately hereafter. So let's make sure we know where we're at. What we've seen in this sequence so far is certain people deserve to be SWAT teamed and arrested and then silenced so that we can slam dunk them Stalin style right into the gulag without the public even being aware of what's going on. If you're a Supreme Court justice, well, it might just be open season on you if you speak up about, well, murder of kids or anything else we don't want you to talk about. And I think that probably includes what we plan on doing to the Second Amendment and the rest of you peons out there once we're able to get rid of your guns and the ability to protect yourself, much less talk about it. So it kind of boils down to this. Whether you think it's the Second Amendment which protects the First or the First Amendment which allows you to talk about what's being done to the Second Amendment so that they can get rid of all of the rest of them, the bottom line at this point is certainly pretty clear. They intend to destroy both the First and Second Amendments, every single part of them. The Fourth Amendment's a dead letter already. Ninth and Tenth, don't even worry about. And then, nothing else matters much at all. So with that in mind, I want to ponder a couple of recent events. Remember the Department of Achtung Homeland Security and the Ministry of Truth, a.k.a. Biden and his communist puppet masters, now at least temporarily defunct Disinformation Governance Board? And the evil, scary Poppins, nutcase Nina Jankowicz. People heard about it. They rose up, well, you could almost say in arms. Some of them at least still have the threat at hand. And Big Brother had to back down, at least, again, temporarily. But it ain't over. In a letter sent, says Michael Robeson for the Gateway Pundit, to the Department of Achtung Homeland Security by Senators Charles Grassley and Josh Hawley, details of the alleged planned censorship by that now defunct Disinformation Governance Board have been exposed. The letter, dated June 7th, addressed to the satanically evil Alejandro N. Mayorkas, the guy who's supervising the border invasion, as well as the DHS, which obviously has nothing to do with security. The senators asked for a closer explanation of the department's plans to execute the directives und mission of the DGB, and in the process exposed documents and information provided by whistleblowers tied to the very existence of that anti-constitutional board. And the senators called out Mayorkas and his super Gestapo, saying, documents show that contrary to your May 4, 2022 testimony, in other words, you lied to us, you perjurer, you, before the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, the DGB was established to serve as much more than a simple working group to, quote, develop guidelines, standards, and guardrails for, how's this for a whopper? Protecting civil rights and civil liberties. The letter goes on to explain that documents reveal the DGB was designed to, quote, serve as the departmental forum for governance of DHS policies, plans, procedures, standards, and activities pertaining to what the government refers to as mis, dis, and mal information, a.k.a. MDM. Or we'll just call them thought crimes. The senators go on to point out the failed attempt to install the idiotic Nina Jankowicz, whom they called, correctly, quote, a known trafficker of foreign disinformation and liberal conspiracy theories, unquote. They outlined her choice to support and share information about the now-debunked Steele dossier, which she called, how's this for idiotic, some great historical context about the evolution of disinfo and, you know what? Actually, if you think about it, this does demonstrate the evolution of disinformation, and they are the ones doing the evolving. They also pointed out her refusal to acknowledge the Hunter Biden laptop from hell as the truth that it's now proven to be. And most disturbing in the letter is the revelation that the DGB had already made plans to meet with socialist media giant Twitter to discuss the planned censorship to come and the controlled speech of opposing points of view, saying that the department, quote, has been working on plans to operationalize its relationships with private social ist media companies to implement its public policy goals. Oh, and a quick aside here, folks. Isn't it funny that this very week, a number of revelations have come out about Twitter and bots, or fake users, as you might instead call them. Turns out that whole bunches of Twitter's alleged fan base are probably fakes. That speaks volumes, and it also suggests that maybe Elon wants to reconsider how much he's offering to buy a pig in a Twitter poke. The Attorney General of Texas, and hopefully others, wants to investigate, but all of this points in the same direction. It's not only about manipulating speech, it's about manipulating your perception of speech, and if you don't like it, making sure you're not allowed to talk about any of it. And once you're completely disarmed, of course, it won't matter what you think or say. The senator's letter goes on to state that the relationship between such non-governmental partners, how's that for fascism writ large, would empower them, not the people, to mitigate what they deem to be misinformation. And if they deem it correctly, they'll be allowed to stay in business. Grassley and Hawley express their concern that DHS would be, quote, enlisting the help of social, they never spell this right, IST media companies and big tech to oversee the censorship of viewpoints they declare to be misinformation. And they wrote, the First Amendment, you know, that thing in the Bill of Rights, was designed precisely so that the government could not censor opposing viewpoints, unquote, whether or not those viewpoints were deemed false. And they concluded by asking DHS to provide, quote, all written and electronic communications, memoranda, and organizational documents related to the DGB from the point that DHS first considered that anti-constitutional bunch of you-know-what until the present. The objective of the request is to provide, how's this for a laugher, would be a pleasant change, don't hold your breath to see it, transparency for the American people. And they even asked Mayorkas, the fascist head of this TLA, to define what they mean when they use the term operationalizing public-private partnerships, unquote. We'll close today with some Orwellian humor from TGP, looking back to the end of March this year, when real fascist public-private partnership disinformation was finally outed. After a year and a half of media blackouts and denials, ABC, NBC, and CNN all finally came clean on the Hunter Biden laptop from hell. You probably remember that back in the year of COVID hysteria, 2020, the fake waste stream news media all unanimously reported that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russia, Russia, Russian propaganda. And a whole bunch of so-called top intelligence officials, read career liars, signed a letter, which got published, of course, saying that the laptop and everything about it was Russian disinformation. See now, creepy quid pro Joe Biden, and that's no excuse, lied about his son's laptop during a debate, and the media has lied about it literally every single time it's come up, which is far less than it ought to have, in order to save the criminal CCP plant in the White House. It was a ridiculous lie, said Jim Hoft, and anyone with any curiosity knew it. And as Tyler Durden, writing for Zero Hedge, summarizes it, as regular readers of that page know, the New York Post was excommunicated from socialist media shortly before the 2020 U.S. election by Big Brother Big Tech partners for reporting on the shady international business dealings by the Biden crime family, particularly in Ukraine and China, all of which was contained within a trove of emails, text messages, photographs, and financial documents that were on that infamous laptop from hell that Hunter Biden abandoned at a Delaware computer shop in April of 2019. And here they provide a whole list of headlines to refresh our memories. One, Hunter Biden, ex-biz associate, was livid over $5 million side deal with the Chinese, according to texts. Number two, why is the FBI's top child porn lawyer involved in the Hunter Biden laptop case? Hey, how about the Hunter Biden laptop linked to FBI money laundering investigation? Hunter Biden witness moved from prison cell after exposing influence peddling operation. Chinese money launderer called James Biden after FBI arrest, trying to reach Hunter. Here's one, Sperry exposed the complete history of Hunter Biden's crony-connected jobs. And finally, the latest cache of emails detailed how Hunter Biden earned millions in China for introductions. It helps to have friends in really, really high places. Or better still, daddy. And covering for the big guy of the Biden crime family to help him win, or at least steal, the 2020 election, people like Representative Adam Schiff for Brains of California insisted it was Russia, Russia, Russian propaganda, and outlets which report on the laptop were smeared as, say it with me folks, conspiracy theorists. But then the dam started to break. 2 weeks ago, the New York Times confirmed that the laptop actually existed, and oh yeah, in spite of our lies before, and they didn't put it that way, as you can imagine, it really is legit. And they confirmed several previously reported aspects of the story, including correspondence between the evil hunter and his business partner, Devin Archer, both of whom served, or at least got their payoffs, for being on the board of the Ukrainian energy giant Burisma. You know, the one where Daddy Biden's on tape actually threatening to withhold a $1 billion quid pro quo bribe or U.S. guaranteed loan in order to shut down the investigation, get the prosecutor in Ukraine fired. Anybody else remember this?
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Someone who could be trusted to keep all of this under wraps. Well, at least for long enough to get me ensconced in the Oval Office. Oh, and while I'm at it, I guess this too bears repeating. Remember one of the biggest lies in all of presidential debating history? And there have been a lot of them.
Vice President Biden, there have been questions about the work your son has done in China and for a Ukrainian energy company when you were vice president. In retrospect, was anything about those relationships inappropriate or unethical?
Nothing was unethical. Here's what the deal. With regard to Ukraine, we had this whole question about whether or not, because he was on the board, I later learned, of a Burisma, a company, that somehow I had done something wrong. Yet every single solitary person, when he was going through his impeachment, testifying under oath who worked for him, said, I did my job impeccably. I carried out U.S. policy. Not one single solitary thing was out of line. Not a single thing, number one. Number two, the guy who got in trouble in Ukraine was this guy trying to bribe the Ukrainian government to say something negative about me, which they would not do and did not do because it never, ever, ever happened. My son has not made money in terms of this thing about, what are you talking about, China. I have not had it. The only guy made money from China is this guy. He's the only one. Nobody else has made money from China.
President Trump, let me ask my question to you.
But could I just one thing?
Very quickly.
His son didn't have a job for a long time, was sadly no longer in the military service. I won't get into that. And he didn't have a job. As soon as he became vice president, Burisma, not the best reputation in the world, I hear they paid him $183,000 a month. Listen to this. $183,000, and they gave him a $3 million upfront payment.
All right.
And he had no energy.
I'm going to let the vice president respond to that quickly, and then I need to get to a question to you. Very
no basis for that. Everybody investigated that. No one said anything he did was wrong in Ukraine.
No, they wouldn't dare. Anybody who did knows what's going to happen to them. They got completely excommunicated from the web. They lost their business. Hell, they may have lost more than that. What a disgusting lie, folks. Now it's been revealed, and the fact that it's coming out now is raising more than a few eyebrows. Why has the waste stream been lying about this for years? But now, suddenly, they're even starting to pile on. Yep, and that includes the WAPO and CNN, with the Post confirming yet more details of the laptop contents, while CNN ran a blistering segment reporting that the federal investigation into Hunter is, quote, heating up. And the WAPO is even reporting on Hunter's, quote, multi-million dollar deals with a Chinese energy company. Well, at least, says Tyler Durden, an honest journalist like Glenn Greenwald, who's among those that have been pointing out the hypocrisy and the cover-up for quite a while, isn't about to let the waste stream get away with this latest U-turn unscathed. Just f***ing amazing, he writes. Now the WAPO, 10 days after the NYT, admits that the contents of the Hunter Biden laptop are genuine and is using them in their reporting. Yet, not one, and he emphasizes it, corrupt outlet that spread the CIA's pre-election lie that it was all Russian disinformation has retracted. And he goes on to say, I don't care that I've talked about this a lot. It's just not talked about enough. The CIA, big tech, and corporate media all conspired in the weeks before the election to spread a clear lie in order to manipulate that election. And oh, guess what, folks? They covered up the rigging, too. And you know, blankety-blanking, well, they're not about to admit that. These emails, says Glenn Greenwald, were all forged by Russia, or so they said. Now, they're ignoring the proof. So here he asks the question. What could possibly justify their refusal to retract that CIA lie that the Biden archive was Russian disinformation, or at least acknowledge the proof? Looks like maybe the jig is up. So, look what we've learned, folks, and what they're still trying to pull. And imagine the importance of what is yet to come. May Yahuwah bless you and yours.